Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Bo Bowman. Here's your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here at Sharp Facets Gallery today. Yes, it's already lunchtime today. Did have a very nice interview with Senator Lindsey Graham this morning that we'll play back for you tomorrow morning on the I Love Ann show. Talked about some interesting issues, and you're going to want to hear it, so you got to stay tuned tomorrow morning. Of course, it is lunchtime, and that means it's Meet Me at the Diner, and right now our very special guest, Bo Bowman. Of course, he's the head of Angel Flights. You've heard him on the show many times before, but he just loves flying so much, he decided to go out and get involved with an airport advisory group, along with some other airline aficionados, and they are advising the county on what should happen in the future with the airport. We're also going to be talking about a little history and a little lore about our airport right here in Greenwood. You know, one of the fascinating things is the very fact, Bo, that we have an airport right here in Greenwood. A small town like Greenwood has an airport. This goes back a long time ago, though, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The airport was built back in the early 40s as a Army Air Corps reserve airport, and there were 700 in some of these airports built back then, and our forefathers fought hard to get a nice airport built here by the federal government. Three runways, all of them 5,000 feet long, and then at the end of the war, a lot of these airports, including ours, were given back to the communities in which they were built. So our county, again, the officials in those days worked hard to be sure that that airport was given to the to Greenwood County. So
we didn't have to buy it from the government?
We didn't have to buy it from the government. It's an interesting fact that it back in those days, it only cost $1.7 million to build the airport, and today it would be tens of millions, I'm sure. But anyway, we have quite an asset there at the airport. Even though there were three runways, we only maintain one at this point, and that's relatively typical of airports that were turned over by the government to municipalities or to counties. And so we maintain the one runway, and has become our county airport, and we are very fortunate to have that facility, and we ought to take advantage of having that airport here in the county.
Well, when you talk about business and you talk about things that are happening and we talk about creating an environment where business wants to come, big businesses travel all the time with jets, and they have them, don't they?
Oh, yes. Corporations, most of them have corporate jets or turboprops, and that's how their executives move around to their various facilities. The Eaton Company here in Greenwood has a whole fleet of jets, and they're quite often visiting here. But over the years, Greenwood Mills has used it. Several companies have used it. Davis and Floyd has a plane now at the has had for quite a while, King Air at the airport. But we look at this as being a very important asset for our county and its growth in the future. Unfortunately, the economic situation now is not, that isn't consistent with companies growing, but I think as that comes to be, it's very important that our airport be looked at as an asset for attracting corporations to come to Greenwood, because they look at things like that very hard, and I certainly hope that our officials in our county keep looking at the airport as a very positive asset to attract companies to come here, yes.
Sure. I think, actually, the last time you were on here, we were talking about the day flights for kids.
Oh, the Young Eagles program.
The Young Eagles program, that's right. We had so many people call in that said they didn't know there was an airport here in Greenwood. So why don't we just tell the people where the airport is in case they don't know about it?
Yes, it's hard for me to believe that people don't know where the airport is, but, of course, I'm a flying nut, so it would be hard for me to imagine. But anyway, coming out from the bypass, coming out of town, if you go out Durst Avenue, which kind of runs parallel to Reynolds for a while, go out Durst Avenue, and in a couple miles you come to Airport Road. That's pretty obvious. That turns off to the left. It wides off to the left, and you go out Airport Road about a mile, and there's a sign there, not a huge one, but a sign that says Greenwood County Airport. You turn left and take you right in, you run right into the terminal if you keep driving.
That's right. And that's right after Deadfall Road.
Right after Deadfall, yes. They're so close together, people usually think you're turning left on Deadfall, but you go left on slightly after that, yes.
Absolutely. And it is a nice facility. Now, you, of course, are not from Greenwood. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Maryland. Spent the last 30 years before coming here 10 years ago in the Pittsburgh area.
Sure. And, of course, you took up flying. I think it was, you told me, a little later in life after you'd gotten your kids and everybody situated in life.
That's right. I was 39 years old when I took up flying, and that would have been in about 1980. But I really took after it with a vengeance. I got my license and airplane, my instrument rating, and I love flying. I'm like a kid about flying and anything to do with aviation.
You were actually out of town flying. In fact, there was a concern you might not make it back here.
Yes, we were up in Maryland this past week visiting family, and the weather looked forecast looked pretty bad for Sunday, and I was worried about getting back in time for this show, but we had to go around a few thunderstorms, but it was safe, and we did it, and I made it in last night.
Absolutely. You know, that's pretty interesting. Now, how long did it take you to get from Maryland to here, or what was more of a direct route maybe when you went up? How many hours does it take?
I always figure on 4 hours. I've done it in 3.5. Sometimes with a headwind, it'll take 4.5, but somewhere around 4 hours, and we split it into two legs. We stop for lunch, usually in Martinsville, Virginia, a regular stop we have there, and we don't like to travel more than 2 hours at a time. You're ready to take a stretch then.
Absolutely. Well, that's terrific. Well, we're going to be talking about today what is happening out at the airport there. We're also going to be talking about some history and some interesting events that are related to aviation today. So you're going to be fascinated by some of the things that we're going to talk about. And I just thought it would be good to have Bo here to be able to talk about all these different aspects in one show. So if you want to find out more about our Greenwood Airport, if you'd like to find out what our airport advisory group, that AAG group, has come up with for some recommendations and what we see the future with the airport, you got to stay tuned right here on WLMA, right here in Greenwood. Let's hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
The classic never goes out of style. The classic can be worn every day. What classic am I speaking of today? Diamond earrings, of course. Classic studs. At Sharp Facets Gallery, our diamond earrings are the best. From quarter carats to over 4 carats in rounds, and of course, princess, pear, or emerald cuts. Best selection, best price, best quality. Buy a pair of diamond earrings today and watch your eyes light up. Sharp Facets Gallery, 72 Bypass Greenwood.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller with our special guest, Bo Bowman. Here's your host, Ann Eller.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking airport aviation and lots of good stuff. We're covering a little history. We're talking about this relatively new group, the AAG, the Airport Advisory Group. But, you know, I told you, we have people that don't know where the airport is. David Marvel just called in, and he says, please give where the airport is. He did not realize it was open to the public. Are there fractional share sellers there?
There have been. There's not a lot that I can think of offhand. There's a J3 Piper Cub that's owned by two or three men. Mm-hmm. But there's always it's always worth checking with people to see if they're interested in fractional ownership. So there's been a few opportunities like that. There's many airplane owners that own the airplanes outright. There's a flight school out there now that Airwolf that teaches, and they're a very good flight school, and they're teaching people to fly, and they also can lease their airplanes. So
there's opportunities.
Lots of opportunities there.
Lots of opportunities. And he said he didn't realize the airport was open to the public.
Well, yes, it's a county airport. It's our airport. The federal government gave that as an old Army airfield to the county back in 1947, and then it became ours as a community, as a county. So certainly it is open to the public, and we encourage the public to come out and see the airport, always.
And it's fun just to go out there and see what's going on. You never know who's going to be taking off or landing out there.
Oh, yes. I've seen, grandfathers will bring their grandchildren out there, and they'll watch airplanes and just have a good time. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, the thing we need to talk about is the facility that's out there, the, what do you call it, the airport itself.
Yeah. Well, the airport itself, and then you have, of course, the terminal building.
The terminal, that's what I'm talking about. The terminal.
Some people call it a terminal building. In flying, we call it the FBO, which stands for Fixed Base Operator Building. That's
you mean it's not moving?
It's not, yes, right. It's standing still, and it's very fixed. And that's where the airplane, the business is for providing gas for the airplanes, pilot supplies. They host or receive the planes that come in and out.
Sure. But it's nice out there. I mean, it is beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Particularly as we get into fall, it's a beautiful place. If you've got some time, you want to take some grandkids out there, nice place to visit.
Oh, yes, a nice facility, restrooms, a lot of rooms, a nice conference room out there that the county can use for various activities or flying groups or whatever. If you contact the county, there is a conference room out there. I have my Angel Flight office there. The FBO manager, Rick Trammell, has an office out there, and he and his people are out there all day, every day. And it's a beautiful place. The building itself replaced what was an older house that was there way back when. And I believe in the 90s, that new facility out there now was built, and it... The local businesses like Davis and Floyd and others contributed to it. And, for example, one room has a plaque outside that says Davis and Floyd. I think CPW, I forget the others, and I won't try to remember them. But different companies contributed to the building, and we have a very nice small terminal out there.
Now, how many planes are actually housed out there, just roughly?
Roughly, I would say, including the tie-downs, I'm going to say close to 60.
That's a lot more than you would think.
Oh, yes, and some fly more than others. They tell me I fly more than anybody out there, except for the charter service. We do have a charter outfit out there. Rick Trammell runs a charter service that you can charter an airplane if you're a business or if you have enough money, the a private person.
Sure, absolutely. So now the airport, you said the 1940s is when the government had it, and then we ended up with it. But before that, what did we have an airport here before then?
Yes, we did. The first Greenwood Municipal Airport was dedicated in July of 1929.
And right around the crash.
And I know. You don't mean airplane crash.
No. I'm talking about the stock market.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And a lot of people, I'm sure, do not know that runway was located perpendicular to Montague, about where Wendy's was up until recently, or where M&M Tire is. And the runway extended back towards the north side middle that they just vacated. But it extends to the right, if you're coming out Montague, it would extend to the right from about M&M Tire back in about roughly a half-mile runway. And I don't know if a lot of you out there know Rebecca Coleman, Beka Coleman, but she told me that she remembers when she was 7 years old, her father bought her a ride in a Ford Tri-Motor that flew out of that airport. But anyway, that dedication week, they had... Charlotte Flying Circus was here to perform. They had parachute jumpers. They had all kinds of stuff going
on.
It was huge. The week. It was a huge thing when they dedicated the airport that week.
And you told me that Greenwood County got written up because they were very much for aviation back in the mid-20s. Was that right?
Yes, back in the 20s, it was written, the Index Journal had a quote that Greenwood is one of 22 cities that have announced they will strongly support aviation, or words to that effect. And they followed up with their own municipal airport in 1929, which was quite early. That was just a little bit after the Barnstorm era. Before that, there was a field owned by a D.B. Alexander along the Dixie Highway, which was Route 25 north of Greenwood. There was a field that barnstormers would quite often come in and sell rides for like $5 a piece. And that was the first talk of aviation in the Index Journal that I could find. And
yeah, isn't that fascinating, though?
Oh, it is. I love it. I've been trying to find that farm, but I can't.
So if anybody owns that farm, Bo would like to know where it was.
One thing I found out is that I think the current Route 25 as it leaves town was not exactly located where it is now. So when I started looking based on the existing Route 25, so I haven't given up yet.
You haven't given up. Wouldn't you like to have been around at that time when they'd fly like that?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have been a barnstormer.
Absolutely.
If I had it to do over, I'd be a barnstormer.
Okay, then. I think it would be fascinating, though.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we just had another question come in. We're going to talk some more about the history. You're not going to believe where the airport went next, but Joe Bob Hartzell, they've been living here for 2 months. They're calling from over there in McCormick. They want to know, do you have more hangar space? He's in Augusta now, and he would consider moving over here to Greenwood.
Well, up until recently, there were some open hangars. Right now, the last I heard, there is a list, a waiting list, but it's very short, like one or two or three people.
Okay.
But
what should they do? Can they call?
They should contact either me at the airport or call Rick Trammell at the airport number, which is in the paper, or in the phone book, I'm sorry.
What's your number?
My number is, I'll give you my personal cell number, 8998. I was about to give you my Angel Flight number. 992-8998.
Okay, that's Bo's number.
Yeah.
And you can
I'll
get direct them in the right direction.
I can send them in the right direction, yeah.
That's right. Well, this is exciting that here we have people that are hearing about this. You know, I think that when we do a show like this and people say, I didn't know, that shows that we need to do more promotion out there about this great facility that we have, little-known facts about Greenwood.
That's right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, when you're a pilot, you think, of course, everybody knows. But, you know,
yeah,
they don't.
We have a resident out there now from McCormick. John Shaw has a new light sport aircraft that he boards out at Greenwood.
Well, there are so many types of aircraft out there. That's another thing that makes it exciting to go out there to see the different types. But we were talking about 1929, where it was. It was over there by Wendy's on Montague Avenue, and that is fascinating. Went straight up towards Northside Middle School there. But what happened? Why did they ended up moving it?
Well, it was quite a short runway to begin with. It was probably less than 2,000 feet. But for whatever reason, in the mid-30s, using funding from the WPA, the Works Progress Administration back in those days, using that funding and hiring workers, they built a new airport, which is right off of Chinkapin Road, out to the west of Greenwood. In fact, there's a community there now, and I wonder if the people that live there even know that it's
they were the airport.
They live along the runway. There was two runways, grass, probably as much dirt as grass, and the Westgate development is built where the airport was, and one of the roads is Marietta and one is Westgate, and they come together at the end, and they were the two runways. So those people out there live along what were the runways of the Chinkapin Airport, which was the second municipal airport, and it eventually became known as Johnson Field because of the man that eventually ran the airport.
Wow. Okay. So then what happened?
Well, that existed until the late 40s when we got the county airport, the Army Coronaca Army Airfield, was given to us. and became the Greenwood County Airport. And at that time, Luther Johnson, who ran the Chinkapin Airport, or Johnson Field, moved his business, which was working on airplanes, instructing, and all of the above. He moved his operations out to the county airport in like 48 or 49, and
So did we have two airports then at that time?
They overlapped for a couple years, and then they sold the property at Chinkapin, and what I read in an old index journal was they used the funding they got from that to help build the new terminal eventually.
Wow.
So
It's a fascinating little-known fact about our area that really make us feel special, isn't it, to find out that
we've had
aviation in our blood.
Yeah.
Since the mid-20s.
Yeah, when I moved here, I couldn't find any information on the history of aviation in Greenwood. So my first two or three years living, or 4 years living in Greenwood, I decided I was going to take it upon myself to dig into a lot of this stuff. So I paged through many old index journals. They have them on microfiche or microfilm at the library.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, when you sit there and watch these pages go by in this old machine, you get tired of that pretty quick. But I found a lot of information just doing that and talking to older people that were around way back when.
Absolutely.
One thing people probably don't know is there was eventually a prisoner of war camp built by next to the Army airfield up here in 1945.
The current airfield, right.
The current airfield, yeah. We had a prisoner of war camp that housed 229 Germans for a year or two.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well,
I was blown away. How about that? Well, all kinds of things have happened here in Greenwood, and, you know, part of the interesting thing is being able to talk to people who take the time, who aren't from our area, and here you came in, and you did this history, and now all of us can know about it. Now, if somebody wants to read more about this, Bo, how do they find out about it?
About aviation history?
Yeah.
Well, I have created a booklet that's about a little less than 30 pages long with pictures and information in it. I really haven't published it or anything. I've given copies to the library. I'd be happy to have copies printed up and make them available somewhere. I just really hadn't given a lot of thought. I also have a presentation of all this information using a PowerPoint that I've been invited to present to a lot of groups around town. I haven't recently, but I used to do this a lot. So again, you have my telephone number. I'd love to do that as just about as much as Angel Flight.
Okay, well that's great. Listen, write Bo's number down: 992-8998. That's 992-8998. It is time for South Carolina News. We'll be back. Don't you go away.
Lou Dobbs, Mr. Independent.
Wow. Ann Eller, I love your show, the I Love Ann Show, which airs from 8 to 10 a.m. each weekday on WLMA Radio in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Well, we have a good time. It's a real positive, upbeat show.
I love it.
Well, then, you will just have to keep listening to the I Love Ann Show weekdays on WLMA 1350 AM or WLMA.net.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Bo Bowman. Live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery having a good time talking with Bo Bowman about the airport. You know, if you haven't been out there, you need to get out there and check it out. But I do want to tell you what the price of gold is doing. It's come up a little bit, folks. It's up about $1,750, but still way down from where it was last week at almost $1,800. And, of course, silver is a little over $39. So if you've got stuff to sell, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you this. It's an excellent time to sell because who knows what the market will do tomorrow. And, of course, that's why we're all so concerned. And that's why, you know, Bo, I heard this morning that the most popular item being sold out there now, people want safes.
Safes? That right?
Is that unbelievable?
Wow.
Yeah, the hottest selling item out there is a home safe. So, you know, what does that tell me? People want to have cash on hand. But if you've got gold, if you've got diamonds, if you've got silver, and you're looking for a great place to sell, hey, I'm going to tell you, Sharp Facets Gallery, we pay the most around. We'll tell you what it's worth. If you want to sell it, that's great. If you want to hold on to it, hey, that's okay, too.
Maybe you should start a sideline in safes.
In safes, maybe I should. Well, anywho, we are talking to Bo Bowman. He, of course, is the head of Angel Flights, and now he's involved in this airport advisory group. We've been talking about a little history here. You know, everybody always thinks the airport has always been out there on Airport Road. Well, it was off of right there off of Montague. It was on Chincapin. It didn't arrive out to its permanent base till late 40s. Is that right?
1947, the first piece of property was deeded to the county from the federal government, and in 1948, they deeded some of the surrounding property. So it was late 40s, correct?
Right. So, but it is a great asset to our community. Now, we have had a group put together that have been giving the county input as to what needs to be done out there, and actually it had gotten in a little bit bad repair, hadn't it?
Well, yes, there were areas on the ramps that needed cleaning and sealing, gravel. They just did an area out near where my hangar is and where hangars are that was getting quite gravelly because the surface there was pretty much the surface that was left over from when it was an air base, and that a lot of that was breaking up and forming gravels, and gravel is not good for propellers, for example.
Sure.
It'll suck them up and chip the propellers. So they're doing a very good job now. Rossi Corwin, the new engineer that's responsible for the airport, has done a lot of nice things recently, and one of them is to clean that area up, put down some seal in the cracks, and now they're going to put a seal coat over all that, making a lot of us residents out there very happy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and that needs to be maintained not only for local people flying, but also just as other planes come in for some of these corporate businesses.
That's right, and that gets into the main ramp and also the runway, and they've also been doing a lot of work on that very recently. They did some that I didn't realize they had done until I got back in town last night, but they have completed filling some very deep cracks that were on the runway and sealing them and then putting sealing coats over that. They've done repainted the runway and taxiway stripings, so they're very visible. They did some sealing, like I was describing before, out on the main ramp. And you're right, all of this is very important to people that are considering coming in and using our airport. And it's a valuable asset, but it's only a valuable asset if you keep good care of it.
Now, one of the things that, of course, I'm sure a lot of people are interested in, it does it cost the county money to maintain it, or do we get federal grants, or how does this actually work?
Well, our big funding source is federal grants. Quite often a grant, I believe, that the federal government pays 10%, we have to, 90%, and we have to match 10%, but other than, and that's great, and there are grants out there to be pursued, and I think Rossi and previously Larry Smith did pursue a lot of that funding, but the county does not subsidize the airport as a facility. I sort of wish it did, but we pretty much survive our operational costs by the hangar rent, the residents pay. And also, there's a lot of timber around the airport that gets replanted if they cut it. But when they cut timber down and sell it, that money stays in an airport fund. And that's the kind of money that's used to match grants and that sort of thing. But the county operational budget for the county does not include funding to for the airport. And that's my understanding.
Wow. So it's pretty much, what shall we say, it's kind of self-sustaining if you've got the timber that comes off that helps match the grants and this.
In a sense, but you know, if it comes to bigger things, like if we wanted eventually, you know, let's hope that Greenwood grows as the economy turns around, and I'd like to see the airport grow along with it. And a lot of the counties around have recently built big new terminal buildings, you know, glass fronts and just modern-looking structures. Now, don't get me wrong, ours is a very nice facility, but as the county grows and as the future comes, it would be great to have a new facility out there eventually, and someday the runway will have to be repaired again or recovered. And this all is going to take money, and I know a lot of other counties put a lot of money – into their airports as an asset.
Because they feel that they are an asset, yes.
Because they feel it is an asset. Our county council says they feel ours is an asset, but I would like to see more of our tax money going into the airport.
Sure. Well, I'm sure as time goes on, and we can't be in this economic situation forever, can we, Bo?
No. Well, I keep saying that, but I'm getting older and older. And so I hope it happens sometime soon.
We keep saying it. We keep hoping here. All right. Well, the airport is expanding. The airport is getting some of the attention it needs. It needs your support, though, in order to grow. And, of course, if we have a viable airport here. Did you know that I understand that at one point we actually had some services that flew in here. We don't right now, but we used to have some.
Yes, in 1949, shortly after we got the airport and got some things built out there, Southern Airways started servicing the Greenwood Airport and did so until I believe it was 1974. And they averaged on the order of 1,000 passengers a year. When you think over a year, that's only a couple a day.
Sure.
And that was their problem. They hung in there a long time from 1949 to 74, but they eventually shut down because it could never reach the passenger goals that they had to make it a profitable operation.
It would be nice to be able to fly right out of here, even if you had to fly to Greenville or, you know, something to take that, or to Charlotte. Sure would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I have some route maps in my booklet I was talking about, and they would fly, like, from Athens to Greenwood to Spartanburg, towns like that, and there was a little network that went over Georgia and the Carolinas, and it was a nice little airline, but they couldn't get the support they needed. And after that, there's a couple small airlines that people probably never heard of. One was called Bank Air. Another one was called Carolina Air. And there was one other one that I can't remember right now, but they gave it a try for a year or two each, and they just, for the same reason, they couldn't continue to support the airline service. Nor could they today, I'm
sure. No, I don't think so. But, you know, one of the interesting things, there's a lot of interesting stuff, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about some history and some lore. I'll bet you didn't know that Charles Lindbergh circled Greenwood in his Spirit of St. Louis and dropped a letter right here in Greenwood. I'll bet you didn't know that the Navy's Akron, which was the largest airship blimp in the world, flew over Greenwood on June 29, 1929, before its fatal crash. And there's some more great stories here, so why not stay tuned right here on WLMA. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more of these things. Hey, if you've got a question for Bo, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
You can't be wrong, rocking and rolling all week long.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery. 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday,
you're with us at Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Bo Bowman. Here's your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're going to talk about some of the interesting things in the past here, but Bo, I'm not sure we actually told everybody what this new AAG sounds like, a mag group or something here. The Airport Advisory Group is what they're doing, what their purpose is.
Yeah, I think I was the one that started calling it the AAG because it was easier than saying Airport Advisory Group, and now it's becoming known as that. But it's a group of pilots, basically. It's four residents at the airport, including myself, most of which fly relatively frequently, and also the FBO, the fixed base operator manager and owner out at the airport, Rick Trammell. So the five of us were appointed or selected by the county council because basically I don't believe there's any pilots on the county council, and they realize that they need input from people that are associated with aviation and airplanes. So this is on a trial basis for this year. If it works well, we'll continue it, and so far it appears that it may be continued. And
it's hard to know what needs to be done if you're not using the facility.
Yeah, the needs are. We don't have authority to make decisions about what gets done, but I think our advice is looked upon very well. And so they, ask us the kind of things that need attention. What do we see as a problem? Some of the things we've talked about are hangar lease agreements and the wording of those. Hangar management, the management of the wait list that the gentleman just called in and asked about. We volunteered to help with that because it was sort of a
haphazard.
That's the word I was looking for. And we also have a lot of aircraft that are hangared at Greenwood but not registered in Greenwood because of personal property taxes. They register them out of state. Those rates were cut down a lot recently, and we're thinking that people ought to realize that, and we can get the tax money. That helps the county to get to have an incentive of some sort to have these people not only board their planes here, but register their planes in this state and in this county. And we're not charging ramp fees for people to come in and park overnight. And most airports charge a minimum ramp fee, and we're recommending that the ramp fees be considered by the county council to get some income from the people that are parking on our ramp. We have some older airplanes out there that people have parked there and been sitting there for months, maybe years, and not being used, but not paying anything for sitting there. So we gotta work on those sort of things. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's great. Now, we wanted to talk about some of these interesting stories. You were telling me Luke Williamson of 96. What's the story there?
Well, Luke was born in 96, 1906, and he, at the age of 21, went off to Texas Brooks Air Field and Kelly Air Field volunteered to be an Army Air Cadet, got his license, eventually became an instructor, and he would periodically fly his bi-wing Boeing P-12 back to 96, do aerobatics over 96, and land on a strip next to his farm, which is still there. He had his family home is still along Route 34 in 96, and he would do aerobatics. And of all people, John Drummond told me the story that he and other kids would race to the farm just to see John Henry. It was John Henry Williamson. He became known as Luke. Do his thing, and then they wanted to meet him when he came down and touch his airplane and that sort of thing. So he gets credit for having the first landing strip, if you want to call it an airport. He'd land on his own property back in the late 20s, early 30s. Well, he went on to become quite an instructor and quite involved, got to be friends with General Chenault, which we've all heard of. He started the Flying Tigers over in China and Burma, and flying the hump and all that. That was his operation going on over there, and he and Luke Williamson were friends. And the Army back in the early 30s wanted to compete with an aerobatic team called the Navy Helldivers. They wanted to compete with the Navy, so they Chenault was ordered to form a three-plane aerobatic team, and he had a competition. The competition was if you could keep up with the maneuvers of General Chenault in an airplane, then you were good. So they had competition, and Luke Williamson was one of the winners, and he became part of a three-man a biplane acrobatic team, aerobatic team, that performed all around the country. That well-known back in those days. I heard at one point they were sponsored by Wrigley's chewing gum. And they were called the Flying Trapeze. They were originally called the Dixie Trio, but it quickly became known as the Flying Trapeze. And Luke grew up here. He became a test pilot for Delta Airlines eventually, and he died in his 50s over in Atlanta. And from his time in China, he also flew the Flying Tigers and flew the hump and advised Madame Chiang Kai-shek. He was an advisor to them over there on how to operate the Chinese Air Force, and she came to his funeral. He's buried along, I think it's 702 in 96 near the old town of where Dyson was. His mother's middle name was Dyson. There's an old cemetery there that John Drummond told me about. It was up in the woods off of Route 72 near Dyson. I found it, went walking up in the woods, an ivy-covered wall, a little family cemetery, quite a few buried there. And there, as you open the big old iron gate, was the tombstone of Luke Williamson, and it said one of the flying trapeze on it. And I got goosebumps.
Wow, that is so cool.
And both John Drummond and I just think we got to do something to celebrate this guy or acknowledge him with some sort of a monument plaque or something in 96, because he was world famous at one time.
That is unbelievable. You know, this is the joy of having people come on and talk right here on the Diner Show about things in our community. Sometimes we get so far strung, I mean, out there with talking about other things, but it's so nice, and it's particularly neat, Bo, that you took the time, because you're not even from here, to find out these things.
I love aviation, and I'm here.
You're here, I know. But, I mean, I think that's neat that you took the time and you went back there and found the...
I enjoyed it.
That is so cool.
You might want to talk about the Index Journal being delivered by air there, too.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
I'm not trying to tell you what to talk about here, but we get credit for the first airmail delivery of a newspaper, the Index Journal, and did I have a date there in that sheet of paper? Back in the 20s, I believe, 29 or somewhere in there.
March 1921.
21, yeah, that's in the Barnstormer days. A pilot, and I can't think of his name right now, Walters, I think was his last name, flew the society editor and the editor of the Index Journal in an open cockpit biplane, flew down, followed the railroad tracks down to 96, circled at a couple hundred feet, and dropped two bundles of newspapers on the town square, kids and horses scrambling everywhere, and people scrambling for the newspapers. The paper said the projectiles came from the sky, but nobody was injured by the raid, and it went down as the first airmail delivery of a newspaper, at least in the Index Journal, yeah.
March 3rd, 1921. Wow. Okay, well, let's see. What about Charles Lindbergh? There's been a lot of question about that letter. Has that letter ever been found?
No, that's one of the things that I've been on a search for, and if anybody out there, when I tell the story, knows about the letter, I'd sure like to know about it. But I have found the son of the boy that picked up the letter. But backing up, after his flight around or across the Atlantic, the Guggenheim Foundation sponsored a tour of the United States for Lindbergh to promote aviation and to get funding for aviation. And he touched down 92 airports, at least one in every state. And on this tour, the Circle of the United States, he was asked by Greenwood officials if he would circle Greenwood and open the Piedmont Fair, which I guess was the equivalent of today's Greenwood County Fair. And he agreed to do that. He left Atlanta, circled Athens. He was requested to circle Athens also. He circled Athens and came up to Greenwood, circled twice, and dropped a letter to the people of Greenwood from the airplane. It was in a pouch, leather pouch, attached to a banner that probably slowed up its descent, and you could see it falling, a long ribbon sort of a affair. And it was picked up by a 12-year-old boy right in the downtown square named James Pinson. And the letter was on display at, it was either, you pronounce it, Efford's or Efford's department store in downtown Greenwood, and it was the attraction of the town for quite a while, the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally located, about a year or so ago, the son of James Pinson, who is James Pinson, and he lives in the area. I think it's in Waterloo, but I'm not sure. But I talked to him on the phone, and he remembers playing with the banner and the pouch as a kid. The last he knew, his uncle had it, and he thought that his uncle had given it to the museum here in town, but I have checked with the museum people and they can't find it. I've had the county check their old archives for the letter, just trying to figure out where that letter to the residents of Greenwood ended up, but it's a shame that that letter has been lost. And he wrote in his own handwriting, greetings to the people or citizens of Greenwood on the letter, and then it was a Guggenheim Foundation form letter that he had written his signature on. Yeah.
That would be so cool to find that letter, wouldn't it?
Oh, if anybody out there knows anything about that letter or the pouch or the ribbon that was attached to it, it would be much appreciated to, again, call my number, 992-8998.
Absolutely. Let Bo know about that. That would be tremendous for our community to have found a letter signed by Charles Lindbergh. Unbelievable. Well, you know, we've got time for maybe one more story. Which one would you like to tell? There's so many good ones, but which one would you like to tell?
Well, let me see my list there.
Okay, see your list there. What would you like to tell?
I have my own, but yours was Charles Lindbergh. We did the flying trapeze in the Index Journal. Maybe people would like to know about the B-25 that crashed in the Lake Greenwood back on D-Day in 1945. Most people know about that, I believe. But I took it upon myself to locate the pilot and found him down in Roswell, Georgia. I invited him back here to speak to our EAA chapter, Experimental Aviation Association, the people that run Young Eagles. And I flew him and his wife back here to Greenwood, gave him a replay of the ride down the lake, only this time we didn't go into the water.
That was good.
He wasn't real thrilled with that. He said, you know, that wasn't a very happy day, Bo. But he and five other people, he was a student pilot, and so he wasn't blamed for the crash. They were doing low flying that day.
Coming out of Donaldson, wasn't it? Donaldson Center?
Yes, he was out of Donaldson Center, which is Donaldson Center now. It was
right.
The Greenville Army Air Corps field. And there were five people on the airplane.
Let me just say this. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. We're going to stay here a minute or so, but go ahead now. There we go.
Okay. I met him, and that was quite a story. I flew him around. He told me the instructor was stripped of his rank because they blamed it on the instructor having him fly so low, because what happened is the props hit the water and they went in. But he was stripped of his rank and never heard from again. And Dan Rossman, the pilot, got a letter saying that he owed the government $250,000 for the airplane, which he promptly ignored, and he's never heard since. And he's still flying. He's in his upper 80s and flying radio control planes down in Georgia. And one thing, since we have to go, Ann, I wanted to mention was the Angel Flight Tournament coming up on September the 19th. We're having the Tournament of Angels, which is a fundraiser for Angel Flight. So if you love to golf, whether you're good or not, we would sure love you to come check with the links at Stony Point. They have all the information on it. Or, again, call me, and we'd love to have participation. We're trying to raise money for supporting Angel Flight.
And, you know, we might as well, since we've got this minute here, what is Angel Flight in case somebody doesn't know about that? Because they don't know what they're supporting here, Bo.
Well, the organization of Angel Flight that I am involved with covers six states, one of them South Carolina, and I'm the branch director for South Carolina. And we're an organization of volunteer pilots that fly persons that need to travel distances for medical treatments. And the transportation is free. It's free air transportation. And we're pilots that love to fly, but if you can fly and help other people while you're flying, then it just doesn't get much better than that.
Absolutely. And the thing is, the pilots have to pay for all of these things.
Yes, it's
them.
A total donation by the pilots, the actual flights themselves. The money is used to run the organization because we have flight coordinators that coordinate
the
with the patients. Well, yeah, eventually across the United States. Our group covers six states, but yeah, there's Angel Flight groups all across the state. So that takes effort in people.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Bo Bowman, it has been so nice to have you out here. We're going to have you again back to talk about some of the other lore. I know there's more stuff we could talk about, but we are out of time. Thanks for coming out today, Bo.
Thank you, Ann.
That's right. And if you have a question, want to call Bo, 992-8998. That's 992-8998. Whether it's something to do with the airport, something to do with Angel Flights, or maybe you'd just like to know a little more history or get a copy of this report, give him a call, 992-8998. That's going to do it for me. This has been another Meet Me at the Diner podcast. We'll be posted on this by tomorrow. Check it out. Tell other people about it. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.